Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the Friday broadcast of Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett, and I love Friday. And the reason I love Friday is because it's one day closer to Sunday. And it is Friday, but Sunday's coming, and I hope that you are going to be worshiping somewhere on Sunday. And I really want to encourage you to go to church, okay? Don't just listen online. I know that's an option that's available. We have that available for you at our church. But there's something about being with God's people. As a matter of fact, we have set up some things that will protect you if you're worried about the virus. You can come to drive-in church. And anything about drive-in church, you just drive into our back parking lot. We have these loudspeakers that are set up, and you can come on and worship with us. And if you don't feel comfortable getting out of your car, you don't even have to roll down your window. You just leave your window rolled up. If it's cold, you go ahead and start your car up every once in a while, turn that heat on. If it's hot, you can go ahead and have the AC on. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to get out of the car. But there's something about being in the presence of God's people. If you feel comfortable coming inside, but you don't want to be with a bunch of people, we've actually set up an overflow area in our Family Life Center that you can watch the service on the video, but yet be at the church building. So come on and worship with us on Sunday, 9 o'clock or 10:30. We are in the Hickory section of Chesapeake. I always tell people we're the last church before you get down to Carolina, okay? Hickory Ridge Community Church is the two states in one church. We are where Virginia and North Carolina meet God. We're at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South. Love to have you come worship with us on Sunday at 9 or 10:30. And don't forget that we also have a great ministry called Celebrate Recovery. Every single Sunday night, 6 o'clock p.m., is our Celebrate Recovery. You can come 5:30, have some refreshments with us. At 6 o'clock, Celebrate Recovery has an open session or a large group session. We worship together. We have a testimony or we have a teaching segment. And then we break off men with men, women with women. I love Celebrate Recovery. I love what God is doing through Celebrate Recovery. So come on and be part of that on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And by the way, Celebrate Recovery is not just for those who battle alcohol or drug addiction. If you have something that is eating away at you, you can't get past it, a hurt that you can't get past, a habit you can't break, a bad habit that you want to get past, come on and join us. We will share with you the 12 steps to recovery so that you can overcome that. So that's Sunday night at 6 o'clock, Celebrate Recovery. All right, well, let's talk today about patience. Throughout the broadcast this week, we have been talking about how to do certain things. On Monday, we talked about how I can make up my mind. On Tuesday, we talked about how to treat people right, not to show favoritism. On Wednesday, we talked about how to resolve conflict. Yesterday on the broadcast, we talked about how to know God's will and how to actually follow through and do God's will. And today, I want to talk to you on the subject of how to develop patience. Now, before we go, I've got to share with you a really bad dad joke, okay? One little single phrase. Really bad dad joke, but hopefully on this Friday afternoon, it'll get you in the right spirit to hear from God. Now, people are usually shocked. They are shocked when they find out I'm not a very good electrician. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Okay, that was bad. All right, patience is a virtue that you have no opportunity to work on when you get to heaven. Isn't that amazing? The development of patience is something that we must do here on earth. When we get to heaven, we have glorified bodies that will be lacking nothing. I'm not going to be an impatient person in heaven. So patience is something that we need to work on now. Have you ever thought that one day you will have nothing in your life that will try your patience? One day you will be able to say, nobody is getting on my nerves. Well, until that day, we must remember that each day affords us countless opportunities to learn patience. So let's not waste them. Now, I'm usually a very patient person, except when I'm really hungry. Hangry, right? Hungry, and I tend to lose my temper when I get hungry. Have you ever noticed that the most expensive restaurants that you go to, it seems like the more expensive it is, the longer you have to wait? You know, there are actually five different waits when you go to a restaurant. Number one, you wait to get a seat. Number two, you wait to get the menu. Number three, you wait to get the order that you ordered. Then you wait to get the food back. And then finally, you wait for the bill. And they have the audacity to call the guy who takes care of me the waiter when I'm really the guy waiting all the time. Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that we are composed or compassionated by a great cloud of witnesses. They're looking down from heaven, and they're cheering us on. So we're told that we should lay aside every weight and distraction, every sin that so easily besets us, and we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, Hebrews 12 tells us to run with patience the race that is set before us. George Matheson wrote, "We commonly associate patience with lying down. We think of it as the angel that guards the couch of the invalid. Yet there is a patience that I believe to be harder, the patience that can run. To lie down in a time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of adverse fortune, implies a great strength. But I know of something that implies even greater strength. It is the power to work under stress. To have a great weight of your heart and still run. To have deep anguish in your spirit and still perform the daily tasks. It is a Christ-like thing. The hardest thing is that most of us are called to exercise our patience, not in the sick bed, but in the street. Ah, the weight is hard. To do it with good courage is even harder. Isaiah reminds us that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You see, waiting on the Lord is not found by being idle, but in running with the Lord. Paul told the Galatian believers that they were not to become weary in their well-doing, because at just the proper time, they were going to reap a harvest if they would not give up. James reminds us that the testing of our faith develops patience. You see, patience is developed by pressure being applied to the area God wants your faith to grow. In James chapter 1, we learn that we are to be very patient in dealing with others. James tells us that everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. We're also told in James to be patient until the Lord's coming. And James uses the illustration of a farmer, how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. And as you think about that kind of patience, if we can have that kind of patience for crops to come up out of the ground, we also should be patient in standing firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Well, this subject of patience is an interesting subject. I want to begin by talking about, when do we need to be patient? Well, I think the first time that we discover that we need to be patient is that we need to be patient when circumstances are unavoidable. James tells us that we're to be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is. Now, just in case you're curious as to where that's coming from, that's James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Now, we think that worry will control the situation. You know, worry about something that you can change it. Now, that is senseless, to worry about something that you can't change. It's useless. You see, anyone can be patient when things are going good. I find that I'm the most patient person in the world when everything's going my way, when things are on my schedule. The farmer plants the seed, and yet he has no control over the weather, no control over the growing process. But he does not stand around doing nothing. He waters, he fertilizes, he prays, he works diligently, but patiently enduring, without losing his temper. Ken Crockett said this, "Once God develops the attitude of patience in you, life becomes easier. So petty things don't bother you anymore." Isn't that so great? Satan knows that if he can cause you to lose your patience over little things, you'll have no fight left in you over the big things. So don't lose your patience over circumstances that are unavoidable. Number two, we need patience when people are unchangeable. James continues on down to verse number 10, and he says, "As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord." Do you have anybody in your life right now who refuses to change? Do you know how difficult it is to live with that kind of person? We need patience with people. They may never change. What are you going to do about that? James says to have patience. That's how the prophets were. I can't imagine Jeremiah. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jeremiah how he had so much patience. You know, his entire ministry that spanned for over 40 years, he never had anybody listen to him. Nobody got converted under his ministry. No wonder he's called the weeping prophet. I think I'd be weeping too. You know, the word patience is the Greek word from which we get our word thermometer, but is the word macrothumos. Macro meaning long, thumos, from which we get our word thermometer meaning heat. So it literally means taking a long time for you to get hot. So you've got a long fuse, you don't blow up. You don't get overheated with people. You see, if you're going to be successful with people, you have to learn patience. If you're going to be successful as a parent, you have to learn to have a long fuse. You don't get easily overheated. You see, people don't change as quickly as I wish they would, but neither do I. The psalmist put it this way, Psalm 37, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper. Don't fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. You see, patience is not found in worrying about the wicked. Patience is found in waiting on the Lord. Will I need to have patience when people are unchangeable, when circumstances are uncontrollable? I also need to have patience when problems are unexplainable. You see, life is not fair. Why has God been so good to me, right? Most of us don't think that way. Most of us think, well, why has this happened to me? Why is there no explanation for what is going on in my life? We learn in the book of Job that Job had perseverance. He is the classic example of one who had patience and was patient under great pressure. You see, Job played in what we would call the World Series of Suffering, and he won the championship. He was the wealthiest man that ever had lived. He had everything going for him, and within 2 days, everything fell apart. He went bankrupt. His children were murdered. He has this incurable, deadly disease that was extremely painful. You think you've got problems, had a rough day? He lost his family, he lost his friends, he lost his finances. He was suffering materially, physically, socially, every kind of way. And then one day his wife comes to him and says, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Now that's quite the support system, isn't it? You think your wife is not supportive? How'd you like to be married to Mrs. Job? God allowed the devil to take away everything in his life except a nagging wife. Now, the worst part of Job's suffering was that he had absolutely no idea why it was happening. For 37 chapters in the book of Job, God doesn't even talk to him, doesn't tell him what is happening. There is no apparent reason for this misfortune. Of all people, Job had the privilege of saying, why me? Romans 12:12 reminds us that we're to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Well, you say, well, why in the world should I even be patient? Well, let me give you some reasons why you should be patient. First of all, God is in control. I am so glad that he's in control and I'm not. You think things are bad right now? You put Calvin Corbett in charge and we're talking about a major disaster. God is in control. Verse number 8 says, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. You know, 3 times in this passage, James uses that phrase, the Lord's coming is near. Phillips' translations puts it this way, resting your heart on that ultimate certainty. Now, I may not be able to control the future. I may not even know what's going to happen in the future, but God is in control. Resting your hearts on that ultimate certainty that God is in control. In Revelation 14:12, it says, this means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. We should be patient because God is in control. Number 2, we should be patient because God actually rewards our patience. Verse 11 says, as you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. Jesus put it this way on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. He said, blessed are you when people insult you, when people persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. You know, the second half of Job's life was more blessed than the first half. God doubled everything he had. It pays to be patient. There are all kinds of rewards by being patient. Your character grows. You get along with people better. You're happier. You reach your goals. There are lots of benefits of being patient. God rewards it. You'll be honored by others. They'll say, now there's a patient person. But it's not just on this side of eternity. But on the other side, you're going to be rewarded. Jesus continues by saying this in Matthew 5:14, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which went before you. You know, when people put you down, and they will, when people criticize you, and they will, be patient, because there's going to be a reward in heaven. You know, it's our natural tendency. It's one of the strongest desires in our life to respond when we're hurt, to get even. You want to retaliate. You want to get revenge. Take matters into your own hand. When you get criticized, you want to criticize back. If you get insulted, you want to insult back. Revenge, retaliation, those are natural things, but that's the opposite of patience. James says that the next time somebody criticizes you, before you strike back, think about this. Is revenge worth giving up the reward that I'm going to have in heaven? I'm going to enjoy that a whole lot longer than the temporary pleasure of revenge. Well, here's a third reason why we ought to be people who have patience. First, we've learned because God is in control, and we learned, secondly, that he rewards our patience. But thirdly, we learned something else about patience, and that is that God is working things out. Going back to James 5:11, it says, you have heard of Job's perseverance. You have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now, there's always a delay. A delay is that time that God gives us to see and to find and to fix a weakness. That's why God brings delays into our lives. Too often, however, we use delay to excuse our weaknesses and to blame somebody else. Job learned perseverance when it appeared that God had abandoned him. You see, often behind the scenes, things we don't even see, God is working. Job knew how to trust God when he saw God working and blessing. He learned how to trust God when he could not see God working. He's at work, but we don't see him at work. God is working. All the time that Job was not knowing what was going on, didn't know what was happening, God was working. You see, a delay does not mean denial. If you've been praying for an answer to a prayer and you haven't gotten it yet, you think God doesn't want to give it to you? No, a delay is not a denial. We have to learn the difference between a no and a not yet, a big difference. You see, we want and we want it now. But we have to learn to be patient because God is at work, even when we don't see what's going on. God was at work in Job's life, even when he didn't know it, even when he didn't feel it. You may be saying, well, why is this happening to me? There's a story of Philip Brooks, who was a famous pastor of the last century. One day he was in his office pacing the floor, completely frustrated. Somebody walked in and saw him and asked, well, what's the matter, Pastor? He said, I'm in a hurry and God isn't. God says, be patient. I'm working things out. While I am waiting, God is working. We must always remember that. Your hands may be tired and your situation may be uncomfortable, but it is not uncontrolled. God is in control. You see, in advance, we say, thank God, because he's working things out. He uses the illustration of the farmer. When the farmer plants that seed, he's waiting for that seed. He's waiting for God, but as he's waiting, he's working. Philippians 2:13 says that God is at work within you. Maybe you can't see it, but we are reminded of the promise that he gives us in Romans 8:28 that we know all things work together, and we know God is working in every circumstance of your life. Well, we talked about the matter of why we need to be patient. Let's talk about how to be patient. What do you do when you're waiting on God? Well, first of all, you want to wait expectantly, not idly. You see, worry is fear, and fear is the absence of faith. In Psalm 130, David said, "I waited expectantly, trusting God to help, for he has promised." So as I'm waiting, I'm not going to be disappointed. Isaiah 49 says, "For the Lord says, no one who waits for my help will ever be disappointed." We are told during our times of waiting that we're not to be lazy, but we're to imitate those whose faith and patience went on before us, those who received the blessing before us. Paul said to the Thessalonian believers, "We urge you," he says, "brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone." So wait expectantly. I must expect a harvest. I must believe that it is inevitable, it's going to happen, that I've done the right thing. What does a farmer do while he's waiting for God? Just sit down and watch reruns on television all day? No. While he's waiting on the harvest, the farmer is preparing for the answer. He's getting things ready, waiting for a time for the harvest to take place. You see, we demonstrate our expectation by our preparation. We get ready for the answer in advance, expectantly. What are you waiting for from God? Maybe it's to bring healing to a long-term illness, or to transform your marriage, or to reverse your financial problems. As I was on the way to record this broadcast, my phone rang, and it was somebody who was distressed. And they talked about the fact that they've been in a marriage for 10 years, and their marriage is no better now than it was 10 years ago, and they're about to give up, and I encouraged them to expect God to do a miracle in their marriage. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. If you expect that God do it, he will do it, and he will prove he is true. How can you prove that you're experiencing or expecting God to do something? Simple. What are you doing to get ready for it? Are you preparing for that answer? If the answer came today, would you be ready? How can I prepare? The way you get ready for something is by preparing in advance. While you're waiting, you're preparing. Preparing demonstrates expectations. A lot of times when I'm waiting for God, he's really waiting for me. He was ready to give me an answer a long time ago, but I wasn't ready to receive it. He's saying, would you hurry up and grow up? Have some spiritual depth in your life? God says, man, I want to bless your life, but you can't handle the blessing. You're not prepared for the blessing, and I want to give it to you, but you're not ready for it. You know, so many times we are so puny and we're so weak that God cannot even give us a blessing because we're not ready to handle it. You see, when you get some spiritual muscle in your life, God says, I will bless you beyond what you can imagine. Waiting is a time to get ready, prepare. Jesus waited 30 years before he began his ministry. 30 years of preparation for him to accomplish in 3 years, more than he could in an entire lifetime. Be ready. Isaiah 49:23 says, the Lord says, no one who waits for my help will be disappointed. So we talked about waiting expectantly, but number two, waiting quietly, not grumbling. Are you chronically complaining or are you patiently waiting? Lamentations 3:26, written by Jeremiah, said, it is good to wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. We're told that we should not grumble against each other because we'll be judged. When you think about grumbling, you don't exercise patience. You see, I discovered something. It's hard to be quiet when you're frustrated. When you're frustrated, you want everybody to know about it. You want to grumble and you want to moan and you want to mumble and you want to complain. We don't mind waiting if we can complain about it, right? I'll wait, but I'll gripe the whole time I'm waiting. But James says, don't grumble. The New English Bible says, don't blame your troubles on another. You see, when you get up in the morning, don't rise and whine, rise and shine. Hit the ground, ready for God to do something great. James also reminds us that we should not cuss, right? When things don't go our way, we get uptight. We are told that we're to wait patiently on the Lord. And then last, we're told to wait confidently, not arrogantly, on the Lord. In Micah 7:7, it says, I wait confidently for God. How do I do that? I am holding on, praying expectantly. We call that hope. Holding on, praying expectantly that God is going to indeed come through, and He will. And then the last verse I want to share with you as we wrap up our time together is Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. So, Lord, we need Your patience in difficult times. Lord, give us that ability to hang in there even when things don't go the way that we want them to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.